Okay, you may be seated. I'd just like to welcome y'all this morning. If we got visitors with us, and I know we got eight of them right back there, if you look in the back of the chair in front of you, there should be a pouch there with a card and a pen. Please fill that out. Put that in the basket by the door on the way out. Give us a little information about yourself, and maybe we'll give you a call and just tell you how much we love having you be here and welcome you to come back and answer any questions you got about, you know, what are y'all all about, you know. So just please communicate with us there. All right, our Bible.
Here we go. Join me in your bulletins if you have one with you. We'll start out with our announcements right quick. All the usual stuff. Prayer meeting every Sunday morning back here in the Annie Room, 9 a.m. Everyone is welcome to join in prayer for our nation, our church, families, loved ones, unspoken requests. Still a little strong. Women's Bible study is Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Terry Buckler is starting the study of the book of Judges. All women are welcome and invited, to bring a friend as well. I hear a lot of good stuff about that study. A lot of the women really enjoy that. I would encourage y'all to be a part of that if you can. Wednesday night services, prayer and Bible study at 6 p.m. Please be here for that, any of you who are available. Next Sunday, this is a new one. Next Sunday, we're doing a luncheon, a potluck next door to celebrate Mother's Day. If you can be a part of that, that'd be great. It is a potluck, so bring your favorite dish. We'll have a sign-up sheet today in the back. There's a couple of ladies back there to help you find that. Sign-up sheet in the back. We would like to give a special gift to celebrate our mothers next week, so if y'all can be a part of that, that'd be great. We'd love to celebrate you and the work that y'all do to just bring our families together, and y'all do such a wonderful job. Join me in prayer if you would. Lord, we come to you right now. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this place, this opportunity that we have to be together, to worship you, to study your word. We ask, Lord, that you bring your unity to this church, this congregation, this fellowship. Bring us together in unity in your word, that we would understand what you would have us to understand, that we would hear your word, that we would receive it, that we would be able to apply it to our lives in a way that is pleasing to you, and that the word, your gospel message, would go out into the world from this congregation, each of us throughout the week, not just today. May that emphasis be known among our fellowship, that that is an important thing to us, that furthering your kingdom, that bringing that message to a lost world is important to this fellowship, Lord. Thank you for the leaders that we have here in this church that build us up in that, that encourage us in that, that we would minister to those around us, not just here amongst ourselves on a Sunday. Thank you for that opportunity, for that responsibility. Thank you for bringing each one of us here today, and we ask your blessing over this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
David, we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come and share what the Gideons are doing. And we would like to invite you to become a member of our church. Ephesians 2:8-9 is a very favorite verse of our church. So we've got the sign-up card for you. Boy, it's good to look out and see the folks that are here this morning, just a little group of folks over here, pretty good sized group of folks over here, stole my heart away. My wife and I raised four daughters, and one son. The only way he survived was that he was the oldest. But four daughters, and so little girls have a special spot in my heart because they're just what makes the world go around, I'm telling you. And then we have our regular visitors who come, and y'all are just a joy to me, and I thank you so much for being here. I was looking through some notes that I had and ran across a bulletin that I read, and I'm echoing also. Let's see, does that help? Huh? Good. In a church in Nebraska, their bulletin had this listed as the sermon topic, gossip. What the preacher was going to speak on, gossip. And so immediately following the announcement of what the message was going to be about, the following hymn is, I love to tell the story. So that is sort of the way it goes. We've been in 1 John now for quite some time. And we're growing, getting close to the end of the book. And we'll be taking up a new study. But the book of 1 John is a book in which John gives out some testings and also some warnings. And before we start, let's look to the Lord in word prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We are so grateful for grace. We thank you, Father, for the love that caused you to give us grace when we deserved punishment. You gave us grace. And Father, you gave your Son that he would pay for our sin on the cross. He rose again, and Father, even today is making intercession for us at your right hand, and we thank you so much for that. We thank you, Father, for each one that's here. We pray that you'd open our eyes, our ears, our minds, Father, that we might see, hear, and understand the truths that you have for us here in the book of 1 John. So, Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. A book of testings is 1 John. A book of warnings is 1 John. A book of love is 1 John. Love, main topic in the book of 1 John. We find in the Word of God that there are four different kinds of love that is spoken of in the Word of God. We have focused on one in particular here in 1 John because that's what John focused on. We have in the Word of God Eros taught, which is the romantic love between a husband and wife. And then we have a love that is called Storge, and that is the love between, like, maybe family members or close friends. And then we have a love spoken of in the Word of God called, it's philia love or philio, and that is the love that God has for us. It's a type of brotherly love that we have for fellow believers in the church, fellow believers who know Christ as their personal Savior. And then we have another love, which is probably the greatest of all love, and that is agape love, and it's spoken of in the Word of God. As I was looking and preparing for this morning, late into the evening, one evening this week, I ran across a passage of Scripture that I am familiar with, and yet I had not taken a long time an opportunity to digest exactly what this scripture, what profit it could be for me. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Now, the church at Corinth was not your, would I say, model church that you'd want your church to be. The church in Corinth had a lot of problems. I mean, what we would even say, we would suck our breath in and go, when we heard some of the problems that the church in Corinth was going through. Even today, we would suck in air because of the severity of the things that were wrong in the church at Corinth. Paul has this to say to the church at Corinth. Love is patient, kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. But it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. As I thought about these things, I was convicted on a number of these things. Sometimes I'm irritable, especially when the thunderstorms come through and keep me awake for about 4 hours during the night. I get a little bit edgy over that. Sometimes I'm just irritable because I'm tired. And there's other things in here that spoke to my heart as far as being resentful. Have you ever been wronged by a fellow believer? What was your attitude and what is my attitude and was my attitude when these things happened? Love does not insist in its own way. I want my own way. Ever feel that way? Well, I think that's probably an emotion that most of us have felt. I want my own way. No, I'm not going to do it your way. No, I'm not going to give in. I want my own way. Love's patient. Are we always patient? So many things in these verses in 1 Corinthians 13 that are good for us to ponder. They are good, as John writes in 1 John, test the Spirit. Do we test ourselves as we would consider 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 4 and following? There's so many things, so many ways that people describe and understand love. And most of them are wrong. And I endeavored many years ago to try to find a good, acceptable, applicable in every situation definition for love. And this is what I found. Love is a total concern without reservation, with a total commitment, without exceptions or conditions, for the total well-being and benefit of a person based upon our relationship to that person. As I was thinking about these things and I looked at this definition and I began to make application regarding the four different kinds of love that we find in the Word of God, I found that in every situation and every kind of love that we find in the Word of God, this definition, if we use it in conjunction to the definition we find in the Word of God, it's completely applicable in every different kind of love. Whether it's love in the marriage relationship, whether it is the love for one believer to another or for another believer, or whether it is the family kind of love that we have with our brothers and sisters in the earthly family, or our children, or our nieces, or our nephews. It's perfectly applicable in every situation. In the love of God, the agape love, it's applicable. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Oh, friend, love, how it motivates us, how it sometimes causes us to stumble, how we sometimes fall because we do not take into consideration the ramifications. Love. John spoke about it. throughout the book of 1 John. We're here this morning in the latter portions of 1 John chapter 4, and we want to look at some things. But I find as I looked and prepared for this morning, the same things that I had pondered for last week's message, I set aside last week, because there was a feeling that I had, an intuition, if you would, or an intuitive understanding, should I say, of the things that people, especially Christians, fall into. We needed to have an understanding of how salvation occurs in a person's life who's never trusted Christ. How does that fit in? And what are the messages that we hear over the TV, over the radio, over podcasts? And boy, are those things ever popular. A podcast. Somebody told me 20 years ago you could make a living doing podcasts. I'd have jumped all over that. Podcast. The things that we hear, that we see being proclaimed, is not always the gospel. It does not always save. So many popular people that we read about, or I shared with you last week about, are so far off on what the gospel is. And Paul writes, and he says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. What is being expressed there is it's either by works or it's by grace. Paul declares in Ephesians, as we repeated earlier in this time together, it's for by grace are you saved. You add works, you no longer have grace. And so many messages that are being proclaimed from the pulpits and from behind the microphones and from behind the, or in front of the cameras today, so many messages mix works with grace. They no longer have grace. Let me say this, popularity does not equal truth. Just because someone is popular, just because someone has a following of millions of people from around the world, just because they dress nice, have expensive clothes, expensive automobiles, mansions to live in, because people come by the thousands to hear them speak when they're in certain places, popularity does not equal truth. We find truth right here, the Word of God. I believe the Word of God is true from cover to cover. It doesn't contain truth. It's true from cover to cover. And the cover, too, it says Holy Bible. I believe that. That is truth. And when we vary from the Word of God in the message that we proclaim, then we are way off base. We who stand behind pulpits, we who stand or sit behind microphones, we who sit before cameras. And what a shame that is when that happens. And so, book of 1 John, John is warning people to be careful. John is warning people to exercise this kind of love. The filial love that we find in the Word of God. That emotional bond that we have with a fellow believer. We ought to have that kind of love for those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But what about the lost? Where's our love there? What kind of love is it that we have? Do we have a storge love in which we love the unbeliever enough that we would share the gospel with them as much as we love our family members with which we share the plan of salvation with? 12 years old, about 10:30 at midnight, close to midnight, an hour and a half from midnight, a 12-year-old went into his parents' bedroom and woke his mother and dad up and asked them if they would share with him how he could know Christ as his personal Savior and know that heaven was his home. And in simple form, simple words, simple sentences, my mother and dad shared with me how I could know that heaven was my home. As a 12-year-old, made mistakes since. But I've never gotten over what kind of love they must have had in order to share with me simple terms, easy to be understood. Paul talks about that. Use words easy to be understood. You see, before we know Christ as our personal Savior, we know the words of the world. We know their applications, their meanings, their definitions. When we trust Christ as our personal Savior, it's amazing how those definitions and those words change, or they should change. What kind of love that we do we have for those who need to know Christ as their personal Savior? Well, in the book of 1 John, John is interested in sharing with those he's writing to how to test the love. What kind of love? We find here that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. That is the definition of God. God is love. The norm is the love of God. Love works for the best interest of those that are loved. That's who my God is. That's who my Heavenly Father is. That's who my Savior is. And we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we love those around us, saved or lost, knowing God produces love. That kind of love. Prior to our salvation, we don't have the ability of producing that kind of love. Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your fellow church member? Oh, friend, we should. 1 John chapter 4, looking at verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Why did God do that? Because He loves us. What does God's love indicate in this verse of Scripture? The love of God caused God to send Christ to die that horrible death on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world. When we have that kind of love, it will produce in our walk with the Lord good works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God, eons of years in the past, already came to the decision that all who know Christ as their personal Savior should maintain good works. Love produces good works. Verse 11, skipping verse 10, but verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You see, when we as individuals experience God's love, it produces in us, or should produce in us, love for others, especially love for those who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. Christ loved. We should love as He loves. We should love those that He loves. He loves not only those who know Christ as their Savior. We can accept that. But He also loves those who do not know Christ as their Savior. Do we love like God loves? Do we show forth the agape love that we, for lack of a better expression, that we inherit the moment we trust Christ as our personal Savior? We should. Good. My prayer is that we will. We'll begin to share with those around us the simple gospel, the grace caused Christ to come, the love that prompted His Heavenly Father to send Him, and the gift that we've received as believers, free, unearned, simply ours because of our faith and trust in Christ. That's the love that we should have. That's the love that we should show others. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning. Thank You so much for this time together. Father, thank You for the truthfulness, the true Word of God, Father, without error, Father, for us today. Father, we thank You for that kind of love that brought salvation to us. May you ask these things in Christ's name. We as a church, on the first Sunday of the month, we have